back this stuff up a little bit.
Yes, I've got the new pastoral candidate coming in. I do have a couple of suggestions, maybe just one in particular about something to put in that package. There are a lot of times there's perks and different things, but I think what it's consider really including is flogging. And what I have in mind is here is like, if that guy goes more than 2 minutes explaining a Greek or a Hebrew word, one of the elders just set off a little bell and just go, hey, dude, after service, it's flogging. But I would pray that you would not make it retroactive. Because clearly last week I went over 2 minutes and then some. I knew it was getting long when I started seeing some eyes glaze over and then John Janney going. And then Judy going. So I apologize for that. It really, it's like looking back, it's like, you probably would have believed me if I had just said, Greek verbs ending in M-A do this. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. So anyway, thank you for your forgiveness. Clearly there's something going on here in the worship service today. Duane is stressing faith. A couple of the prayers were particularly highlighting love. And I just think that we need to remember that context. So I've got some things that could maybe even sound a little bit challenging or works-oriented or something. You just got to do this. You're going to think yourself a Christian. What kind of a Christian you are if you don't do this? But all those challenges just are all should always be. They always really are in the context of love, that we're doing these things because God loves us. We're doing these things because his love has permeated our heart in different ways, and we're just showing gratitude that we want to do the things that he wants us to do because he's got an agenda that he wants to complete. And so please, if I start sounding some other way, my heart is that it would continue in the atmosphere that God's setting up through the worship and the prayer and the exhortations that we've already experienced here this morning. Well, let's begin by turning in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. I'm just reading four verses here today to set our hearts. Hebrews 3, 12 through 15. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. As it has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Do you have most of you gotten this handout? If that's useful to you, we'll be working our way through that this morning. And I want to talk about salvation in three tenses, just so that we can kind of set the idea of sanctification in a context. So if you've seen the Christian Missionary Alliance logo or the fourfold gospel, they're talking about Jesus as Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. And as Jesus as Savior, we're primarily looking to Jesus' death and all the theology and the truth that surrounds that. And then when it comes to sanctification, we're looking at Jesus' life. It's his life that flows through us to make us holy. It's not keeping a set of rules or trying harder or any of those things. It's just allowing the Spirit of Jesus Christ to work in us what was so powerfully working in him. So in salvation in the past tense, let's turn quickly to Ephesians 2:8. So you'll see the scriptures there and you can anticipate those. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a work of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we have been saved is that past tense of salvation. And what are we saved from? There we're saved from the penalty of sin. So the things that have occurred in our historical past, the trusting in Christ, what does it save us from? Primarily, and there's a whole orbit of things around that, but primarily from the penalty of sin. And then this element of salvation has been completed. So again, if you're filling in your blanks, then you've got, we have been saved from the penalty of sin, and this element of salvation has been completed. there is a second tense of salvation. I'll turn to 1 Corinthians 1:18 as an example of that. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And there, did I finish that verse even when I turn away? No, I'm good. So then we are being saved in this continuous or the present tense of salvation from the power of sin. And so as we're being saved and sin wants to encroach, it wants to act like it still has authority in our lives and that we need to do that, we're compelled. You might as well give in. Satan's working to undermine us there. But we are being saved from the power of sin, and this element of salvation is continuous. It just keeps going on. You have to keep working at that. There's not a place where you go, I'm glad that struggling against sin is over. Well, not in this lifetime, you're not going to get that. Not in this present tense of our salvation. And then salvation in a future tense, going back to the book of Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And so there we will be saved from the presence of sin. Hallelujah. And this element of salvation will be consummated. In the age to come, then what for us is future will be consummated. Our salvation at that point will be complete in every tense, in every sense. So going to D then, the present tense of our salvation can be called or is called sanctification. And so as we experience the present tense of our salvation, as we work on the present tense of our salvation, that is called sanctification. Is this mic, is it constant or is it starting to waver a little bit? Yeah. Okay, if it gets bad enough, I'll just jump off of it entirely. Okay. Then sanctification has three dimensions. There's one that's positional, which happens at conversion. The sanctification that happens at conversion puts us in a new position in our relationship to God. We are positionally sanctified. We are treated as if we are holy. Then another dimension then is the perfect dimension of sanctification, which happens at death or Christ's return. And then finally, practical salvation, which happens today. And so just to go through those fill-in-the-blanks again, sanctification with three dimensions, positional happening at conversion, perfect happening at our own deaths or Christ's return, and then practical, which happens today. Then to look at sanctification yet another way, then practical salvation, things that are happening in this present phase of our salvation, sanctification, has two components, and it's a predicament and a progression. And so looking at the Alliance Statement of Faith, or as it gets expanded, to be able to see that there's a bit of an explanation there, and we'll go a little farther with that today. The predicament occurs when we realize that we are to be perfect. And some of these things happen just with a bam. With some people, it's just like an explosion and pieces going everywhere and you're like, what happened and all that. And we can sort of slow that thing down and examine it as the pieces go flying. Or for other people, it just seems to be a more drawn-out experience. But to separate it into the predicament and the progression, that there is that place in the Christian life where you are... hopefully you're understanding that you're saved by grace through faith, that God's done all the important work. He's giving us this gift. We just have to receive it. We just really believe that this, I'm talking to God, he's offered me salvation in Christ, and I receive it. And then, at least I didn't know much what to do. At this point, a lot of my family was saved. My mom owned a Christian bookstore. I had been trying to get saved for weeks, asking people what I had to do. But then until you get saved, until Jesus is resonant in your heart and you're beginning to understand how the Christian life works, beginning to understand, one of the things that you do learn is that that yearning that we had to be righteous in some sense, it's very rarely that somebody is so depraved, they go, like, I'm evil and I'm glad of it and I intend to keep being evil. Most of us are looking at some point at, like, there's something wrong with me, I'd like to get this fixed, and the fix that we finally come to, hallelujah, is to turn to Christ. And then we might be a little shocked to see that, like, hey, there's still something that isn't quite right here. I mean, it's like, oh, I still have some of these impulses. Now, for me, the outside of the cup was a very easy thing to clean. I never did drugs again. I was doing them almost daily for 7 years, and I got saved, and I never have done drugs again. I got drunk a handful of times after that, and then now it's going 30-some years, never drunk again. I had a potty mouth that just, like, I think you'd have felt sorry for me. It's like, this guy, it's like some people say, you know, or I mean all the time. I put in some cuss word in there. And so clearly that was easy. But the outside of the cup ended up being much easier for me to take care of than the inside of the cup. It was way easier to quit cussing than it was to stop being angry. It was way easier to quit doing drugs than it was to love other people. So there's all that's going on. But then after you're saved, then there's that predicament. It's like, I really should be holy, and clearly I'm not. And I don't know what the remedy for this is, but I'm really feeling the weight of somebody who is born again who should be doing better than I'm doing. And so somehow or another, I mean, it just happens different ways. For some people, it's this big surge, and other people, it's a growing realization. But somewhere along the line, then you get to this predicament of sanctification. About, like, I need to be holy. And the predicament occurs, this is G here, predicament occurs when we realize that we are to be perfect. For most people, I mean, I think this is the norm, there is a filling, perhaps even a gigantic, recognizable filling of the Holy Spirit that happens in response to our calling out to God, saying, this is really getting to me. I want to be holy. What's going on? What do I need to do? And that crying out then is met with some filling of the Holy Spirit, sometimes spectacularly, sometimes quietly. And because we're saved not by knowledge or by remembering an emotion, that some of these things can happen without us even realizing it. I think there is a chance that people that have a low IQ or they've been bonked on the head in a car accident, that even though they're not necessarily fully rational or conscious, I still think there's some chance they can get saved. Because it's a work of God, and to whatever capacity they are still to be human, they can believe anything, they can believe that. So, the predicament occurs when we realize we need to be perfect. The progression, the progressive element of our sanctification occurs as we realize that holiness happens now. Just to expand just a few more ideas before I get into the meat of the thing, the application that I think God wants us for us to have today, is that salvation, the letter I, salvation is by grace through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but sanctification, however, is by grace through faith. It's the same dynamic. It's not something else. It's not meeting rules. It's not religious practices. It's not meeting any kind of benchmarks of check that off my list. Sanctification is by grace through faith. And as I mentioned, it's my understanding of grace that the primary definition of grace is the active presence of God. And then a corollary to that is that you cannot faith something that God has not graced. That faith is a response to grace. And so when God graces something, we need to receive it by faith. And he is this gigantic God who has different agendas and will not make a set of rules out of Christianity. So if you think you've got some rule down pat, he may give some circumstance where it just doesn't apply here. Hey, Abraham, go kill your son. No, that's against the rules. You can't tell me to do that. And so sometimes it's very appropriate to talk, and sometimes it's very appropriate to shut up. And other times it's appropriate to give somebody something, and other times it's like, no, if I give you that, I'll make you dependent on me. You don't know. You have to listen to God. You can't make it a set of rules. So the progressive element of sanctification, of our salvation in the present tense, is that it's by grace through faith, and it just happens now. That God is somehow in an eternal present, that everything is present to him, and I don't know how this works, but it seems to be the cumulative wisdom of Scripture that if he wants to go back and visit the assassination of Julius Caesar, he can just, and he's there. And so for God, everything is now. And the closer we get to him for our own individual sanctification or this present tense of salvation, then everything for us is now. And that's the point that I want to kind of home in on today, is that how do we look at now? Because there are holy ways to look at now and unholy ways to look at now. And there's an interesting phenomenon in Scripture that there are a couple of different words for today in the Greek, and I won't go 2 minutes on them, but I will mention them. They sound a little bit similar. So the first one is hemera. And that is just the normal word if to say this 24-hour period here, this is Sunday, this day here today. And so it's just very referential, objective. The other one is semeron, and that is the capital T, exclamation point, underlined, bolded word for today. Now, Jesus and his disciples probably all spoke Aramaic, probably the language that Jesus was teaching in, and so our New Testament, as we have it in Greek, has been translated from a spoken Aramaic finally into a written down Greek. And full disclosure, sometimes these two words are interchangeable. It depends on who's translating it and the circumstance. But when the gospel or epistle writers really want you to know that we're talking about the today with the capital T, now, that's the one that tends to be semeron. And so just to finish up our sheets here, when I'm saying that sanctification can only happen now, it's with the strongest sense of this Greek word, semeron. To illustrate the overlap, I better turn there. For Mark 6:11, that's not looking like what I thought it was. I mean, maybe it's Matthew 6:11. Yes, give us today our daily bread. That's semeron. It becomes very eschatological, very end timesy, very already not yet, but this is the already part of it. Give us today our daily bread. Like, give us all these blessings now. But, hey, over in Luke 11:3, it's the same thing. Give us today our daily bread, but the word's the other word. So we could be dealing, just, I'm trying to show you the overlap there. So sometimes, today is just today. But sometimes, today is now. And that really does show up quite a bit in Hebrews. And there, every time that this word is stressed, it is this semeron word. Hi, Ed. Oh, it's in chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. In verse 15, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. this is where we're really banging in on this Samaran word. Today means now. And one of the things, when Judy and I were in Ecuador, she had served there for a couple of years as a nutritionist at the hospital in Ecuador, in Quito. And so I was brushing up on my Spanish vocabulary, and I know what mañana means. It means tomorrow. But I found out it means more than that. It's like, okay, when do you think this gravel is going to come in? Mañana. It's like, and it gets to be the next day, and it didn't come in. What's with that? So I learned that mañana can mean either tomorrow, or it can mean not now. Oh, mañana. So if we don't watch it in our hearts, today can mean today, or it can mean not now. So what God's trying to get us to the point is like when he's talking about today, when he's talking about sanctification, he's talking about now. He's talking about Samaran. And man, that time it just rolls on. I don't think I do that with an electronic clock. What's that Jedi thing? But the way we exist in time, but it's a series of now. There are something like 10,000 moments in a day. They're very short duration. That for us, what is now is like, we got now. We're all doing now, now, now. But within just a flash of a brainwave, it seems like that's the past. That's the past. Just a few seconds ago, Ed was trying to turn back the clock and all those things. So we deal with the now. So if we're going to deal with the present tense of our salvation, with our sanctification, we must deal with now. Another thing to picture is that life's rolling along like that as things recede into the past. I'll go this direction. And then also, if the river of life is, let's say it's floating this direction, that our own sin nature, the sinful structures of mankind, that all it takes for a Christian to do is just stop paddling uphill. And we just start floating downstream. I mean, God's gracious, you can miss a quiet time or two, and you can get away with some stuff, and maybe that should have caused more harm, but it didn't because he was gracious. But if we just stop fighting the good fight, we just start tracking downhill. And so God is trying to get us moving this direction, and so in our sanctification process, he is whispering things in our ears all the time about things he really wants us to do. And if we do mañana with him, or if we do hemera with him, that's disobedience now. I want you to call your mom today. Oh, yeah, Lord, small t today, maybe even mañana. And then we float down the stream, and what we thought was a putting off of obedience is better called disobedience. That God's always dealing with us now. We can't put him off on now. He's a now person, and sanctification is a now experience. And when he's telling us stuff, we have to do it. Okay, as time's winding down, I'm not sure what God wants to do here entirely. But I've got some things with a small t on my today. It's like, you know what? I don't need to check my email 8 times a day and check Facebook 6 times a day and check my bank account 3 times a day. And I waste all kinds of time doing stuff like that. I maybe, you know, like when you get to heaven, they put that little white stone up there. They go, wasted time. You can call him Ed, but his real name is wasted time. So that's not good. If God's speaking to us about anything, now for some of it's great big deals. I mean, it could be you're embezzling money at work or you're pornography, but it could be, you know, it's time to cut grandma's toenails. You know, it can be anything. It's anything in between. That's hyperbole there. But it really can be anything that if God is telling you to do it, he's looking at your heart. Now. You know, if he's telling you to cut grandma's toenails, you know, don't run out of the building. You know, if it's in your heart, you've got a Samaran, you've got a capital T, you're really going to do it. You don't need to run out and do it now, but your heart needs to be right about doing it because you put a small T on it and you do a mañana thing on it, you're not going to do it. And your heart's not obedient or willing or holy at that point. It's you're just telling the Lord, mañana. That's not good. He wants us now. He wants all of us all the time. And the moment he wants us is not for us tomorrow or yesterday. It's always now. It's those 10,000 nows that he gives us every day to turn our hearts to him. That's sanctification. That's holiness. That's the present tense of our salvation. And I guess maybe we'll just do this in our seats here. But let's just take this last moment. Is there something where you know that you're doing a mañana with God? Maybe later, maybe when it's more convenient. But it's a heart thing. And the heart has to say yes now. And if it doesn't, it's saying no now, and it's floating back down the stream. It's not going to get easier. Oh, it'd be so much easier if I quit eating all those Doritos in 3 days, you know, because there's a football game today. It's like, well, maybe, and it's maybe it's okay to eat the Doritos, but if your heart is in a mañana, small T, a Hemera thing about it, that's not good. It's not going to make it easier for you to quit eating those Doritos in 3 days. It's going to make it harder for you to quit eating those Doritos in 3 days because you've been telling God no about it. If we can use that as an example. So let me be quiet here, and let's just take a moment to contemplate our now. And just, God, I just pray that for every person here, if it's a thing large or small, because you want our hearts, if there's something that we have not been saying today, now, yes, Lord, but we've been saying mañana, I hope so. Lord, we just offer these things before you. Is there something already that we've floated back downstream on? Please show us. And Lord, we just kind of want to move that shift sign over and go back and strike out that small T and put that capital T on it. It's today. It's now, today, if you hear his voice. Lord, help us to have that inclination of the heart. I pray that if people just offered up different things to you, that you would pour out your spirit upon them to enable them to see your worthiness, your love for each one of us, so that we can do what may be, in fact, very difficult, something that some people have no trouble making a plane reservation, other people can hardly do it. They put it off. They don't know what they're doing. It's anxiety creeps in. But no matter, Lord, you're trying to get us all to be brave, trying to get us all to be loving and obedient, and finally, wholly devoted to you. Lord, as things come out in our lives in the next couple of days, speak to us. Let us know these things, that these are now things. These are not mañana things. These are not I'll get around to them things. This is a now thing because that's how holiness works. To have a powerful church, a loving church, an active church, it's going to take a bunch of powerful, loving, and active people who are saying yes to you in this moment. These 10,000 precious moments of every day, no matter how many days we have left, and we don't know. Just thinking here, we just had the anniversary of John Kennedy's death. That here he was, handsome president of the United States, riding along in the back of a car in a parade in Dallas with his beautiful wife next to him. And seconds later, she's climbing onto the back of that car to pick up pieces of his head. We've got this now. We don't necessarily have the next one. So help us to regard them all as precious moments to serve you. You certainly are worthy, and we want to see what happens when we get a string of these yeses, that where that takes our individual lives and where it takes us as a church. We thank you for this opportunity. Help us to be today people, Samaran people, now people, holy people, Christians. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.